Off the Ball.
GAA.
Everybody said they wouldn't win the All-In, and they won the All-In!
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 37 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we're going to focus on Saturday's action at Ascot, Newmarket and Haydock. So subscribe now. Johnny, how are you?
I'm very good, Judy.
You were in Sligo this week.
It was a 2-day meet in Sligo. Flat first night, national hunts at second night. And yes, last night was ladies' night. They were really lucky because it lashed rain, like lashed rain for, I'd say, 3.5 hours before racing, stopped for the racing and then just started again about 10 minutes after. It was extraordinary. Like it was like as if it were written in the stars. There's a good crowd there, well supported, you know, in terms of the crowd last night, and good racing as well. And I have to say, it's been a feature of the meetings I've been at over the last few weeks, well-attended meetings at
like, around the country in 80 days, Johnny.
Yeah, I've been to, what, Bellewstown, Wexford, Downroyal, Sligo, Mallow, and even in Mallow, which
is now called Cork.
Yeah, like it can struggle to get crowds in, particularly the National Hunts, or particularly the flat stuff, but there was a sort of an ordinary enough National Hunt card the other day, but it was very well attended on Easter Monday, or on the Bank Holiday Monday. And yeah, it's good to see that. It just makes some difference. Even like talking to connections and talking to jockeys and that, it makes some difference when there's a crowd there. And Bellewstown, I thought, was really, really lively. There was a great crack there, but the Connacht track still continued to be very well supported. And Sligo was great crack last night. The town itself is, I don't know if you know Sligo town.
Great, never been, Johnny.
Great time there. It's like the River Garavogue is kind of almost the focal point of the town. But you know, you've all the Yates, you've the Yates Museum, you've some great pubs, you've access to Strand Hill and Ross's Point.
Did you get the train up?
I got the train, yeah.
Is the race course near the town centre?
Yeah, it's not like 15-minute walk, maybe 20-minute walk. And you see Markovic Park and you see majestic Ben Bulbin in the background, and a lovely place to go racing. Great bars and restaurants as well, like lots of tourists. Yeah, it was really good fun.
I've been to 14 out of the 26 Irish race courses that are currently in operation. I would have missed the Phoenix Park in Tralee. So for locals out there that have never been maybe to their local racetrack, or there's a racetrack that's accessible for them, which are the ones that you'd recommend?
The Curra, for one, because a lot of the locals don't go, which is weird. You know, and we actually, one of the evenings in Sligo, I was talking to Pat Healy, the photographer.
The gracious old man.
Yeah, and we're talking about his love for the Curra, and we actually spoke with the Phoenix Park as well, but Pat was saying he still has a big soft spot for the Curra. I'm like that as well, actually. I think it's a really good car there tomorrow. But the Curra is a place that needs more local support. A lot of that has been lost in terms of the more conventional tracks down the country that people might not go to. I actually feel Killarney's not supported as well as it should be at times. I think, you know, Killarney's a tourist town, but it's the most beautiful racetrack. Myself and Dan McDonald were lucky enough to own the leg of a winner there, and like the backdrop is stunning. Like Sligo's up there, but the backdrop in Killarney's off the charts. And it's
what happened that night?
I think there's a story behind that. I think I left my steak because I was very excited and I couldn't finish my steak afterwards, so I left it in the cloakroom. There was a bit of a story.
You left a steak in the cloakroom.
Yeah, I hate wasting food, and it was like a really good T-bone. So I handed in my jacket in this like bag with one of those kind of, you know, foamy kind of holders.
It's kind of an Irish doggy
brought
bag.
It back on the train and then ate it maybe that evening. But it was lovely. I do remember it was lovely when I ate it, and I hate wasting food, and it was very good steak. But we had great crack in Killarney. Where else? Like Ballinrobe was very well supported. But it's a cracking race track. But I feel the regional tracks, the ones that make an effort, they can still do well. And racing's still a really good day out.
Yes, I'm going to vow that by the time we speak about this in 6 months or a year, I'll have chalked off a few more race courses than the 14 I've been to.
JD's Tour of Ireland.
Well, that's it. Mm. Yes, T-Bone with T-Bone Johnny.
Mm. T-Bone Johnny, yeah.
Listowel, have you been to that week? It looks very appetising.
I haven't really done Listowel. Like, I'm trying to think now. I was in Listowel during the pandemic, and but I haven't done it properly. And like, again, we mentioned Pat Healy, obviously he's one of the key people behind Listowel. That's one meeting I have to do properly.
Have you done the Laytown Beach Race?
I have.
That's great fun.
That's great fun. And like, I was making this point on another podcast during the week, like Irish people, I don't think they go for the horses so much. I think they go for the crack. Laytown get a bigger crowd than the Guineas, which makes no sense really, but also does make sense because it's very unique. And I love the sea. Who doesn't? You go to Laytown, really busy betting ring, massive British interest now. It might be the only, if I'm right in saying, it might be the only such meeting in Europe that we have like proper conventional rules racing on the beach. I'd actually nearly feel, and I know they changed this for safety purposes, but I feel if they had one or two more races over longer distances, it'd make it better crack.
Or maybe a couple more meetings. Yeah, it's only one
absolutely.
A year. Monday the 16th of September next month.
It's funny, yeah. Like, we should definitely do that as a day out, the two of us. Definitely, yeah. And JD and T-Bone Johnny on tour. That's a brilliant experience. Like, you get the train there as well. And it's one of those.
Yes.
And you get off and... yeah, it's and the smell of the beach and the colour of the water and the horses galloping on the sand, like it's actually magic. And it's to be honest, like the standard's not that bad either. You know, you get some good horses run there.
Was Galway a success? So I was away, and obviously the Olympics have been on. But would Galway be constituted as a success this year? If we define success, whatever way you want to define it.
Yeah, I suppose the numbers in Galway are down on what they were at the peak, but they're holding up pretty well. You know the race in itself was, there's a very good spread of winners, and I think that's what you need. And Galway still appeals as a kind of the people's race meeting. The crowd was down on the Sunday, but the weather was terrible. Yeah, it was a success. Like, I think crowds aren't going racing as much as they were traditionally, and it was really good race, and the ground held up well. There were a couple of fatalities that were obviously disappointing, and there's probably nothing to it, but it's always, you know, it's always good that racing looks into that. There were more fatalities than you'd want in a race meeting, and that should always be looked into, but the race meeting itself was really good. I couldn't make it down this year, but it still endures as a terrific festival.
Some bizarre results. A 200-1 winner with Iggy Madden.
I would say in all my years racing, that was the most bizarre. Like, it was one of those results that would literally compel you to give up ever having a bet again. Because if I had enough money, I would have laid that horse at 1,000, left, right and centre, to anyone who asked me at the race course, can I 5 euro on that 1,000-1? Absolutely, go ahead. That horse had absolutely no chance. Maybe we should all go to the chiropractor.
Yes. Mm. I think it's just sometimes it was a once in a decade that Iggy Madden does have a winner, you know.
But to be fair though, like he did have a runner then in Mallow, I think Danny Mullins rode it, that looked like it was going to win and finished third on Monday, so maybe his horse is coming into a bit of form, but like that horse had run 7 or 8 times,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
It was 200-1 the day before in Ballinrobe. Like, I was surprised it wasn't 300-1.
Just sometimes it can happen.
It can happen.
With these horses, because it's definitely not a case that there was a plot. You know, if it was a plot, it would have been 16-1.
It'd be great to have a plot where you could get a 200-1 winner at the end, because you wouldn't need much money.
So I don't think he would have even expected it. And then Willie Mullins had a 50-1 winner in an amateur race.
That was an extraordinary race. And the same horse actually then rocked up later on in the week and was kind of a no-excuses fourth in a handicap. But yeah, that was... 50-1, a horse that's like was kind of ridden very quietly, and won that traditionally good handicap in remarkable soil.
Pinkerton, a 20-1 winner of the plate. Noel Mead, good to see you, Noel, back in the winner's enclosure.
Yeah,
like, this horse was more of a 2 miler, but obviously had the pedigree to stay.
Yeah, you know, he's obviously more of a National Hunt trainer now, Noel, or more of a flat trainer. But I think his first win on Galway was 52 years ago or something.
Wow.
Like, so that was mad, and like he was saying afterwards, like the Galway, he felt Galway still the people's race meet, and like I think those handicap chases now they're so clustered in terms of the same owners, the same people winning them, and Noel Mead winning it was actually something a bit different now. Great for Dunham Myler as well, who picked up the ride. Myself and Tom Malone put up Zanna here in the race, who ran well but just didn't jump quite well enough. He was third,
yeah.
And Duffel Cope was second. So Gordon's horse ran very well, but Zanna here, he's flatbread horse. He just doesn't quite jump well enough, but fine effort from Pinkerton.
Nürburgring was a very good juvenile hurdler. Was he a horse that was put up by yourself or Tom?
We gave him a favourable mention. Like, I thought the Galway hurdle was very difficult, but in hindsight, he could have been backed. And 4-year-olds going for the Galway hurdle now, I think, might become a thing. Those horses that were competitive in the likes of the Fred Winter, Zarek the Brave won it as a 4-year-old. And horse in the Galway hurdle, it's so hard to have Anthony in hand. If you come in as a 4-year-old and you're developing, you know, you're into the middle of the season, so you're nearing your 5-year-old year, you kind of can have a little bit in hand. And he had a bit of experience of hustle and bustle and of good races. And I'd have to say JJ Slevin has just been, just having an outstanding run of it in big race, And it's almost happening to him late enough in life. Like JJ's, he's not a young rider at this stage. Like he's been on the go a while and he's gotten the opportunities with Joseph, his cousin, and obviously Martin Brassel and
Tom Gibney.
And Tom Gibney, the Mulrines. Taking it with both hands and has really nice horse performance.
His confidence does.
Yeah. He did a great piece in the race post with and I know we've had him on our live show on that, but he did a great piece with Patrick Mullins about his riding style. And he has a flat riding style. He's a lovely style on a horse, and horses are really running for him at the moment.
Davey Russell was also in the Racing Post giving a kind of an opinion article this week about prize money. Just going to quote out some of it here, Johnny. These are Davey's quotes. "We often hear the prize money purse being increased by a percentage point or two in horse racing Ireland's budget, 2% for this year to 69.4 million. But in real terms, that's cancelled out. The cost of feed, betting, fuel, energy and so much more has risen dramatically over the past few years, with some things costing nearly twice as much as it did just a short time ago. And the consequence of horse racing becoming less attractive to owners is that it has a ripple down effect through the industry. If trainers, breeders, pinhookers and whoever else can't make a few bob and have a feasible business model, the whole thing will fall down." Now, Suzanne Eade, the boss of Horse Racing Ireland, had a rebuttal to that quote here. "It should be remembered that we've never spent as much on prize money as we will in 2024. The investment into prize money has supported our level of fixtures while maintaining base values. Do you have a view?"
Yeah, like Davey, it was a guest column, his first column in the race, but I'd agree with a large part of it in that our prize money isn't really good enough. But we also have too much racing and we also have too many low grade horses. So maybe it'll be a natural way of weeding out some of the low grade horses. It's very, very poor economics to own a horse, Shady. And like our prize money,
you're always going to lose. You have to go into the mindset, don't you? If you're going to own a horse, you're going to be a loser. It's going to cost you money.
If you lose 75% of what you invested, you'll probably be doing well. But what Davey's point is that this is true for me as well as a journalist. Like in terms of, I'm a freelance journalist. Like I never get a pay increase. Like I'm basically getting paid the same for work now that I was doing 15 years ago. But the cost of living has gone way up. Like, so there are a lot of people are struggling in the sense of the work that they're doing. They're not getting paid as much in racing. Everything's gone up. Like the cost of fuel has gone up. Davey's absolutely right about this, and that then puts a squeeze on the trainer. Trainer's often reluctant to put up his or her fees because it's really tough as a trainer. And trainers are kind of banging the drum about this for a long time, but they're really not making much money. But for the owner then, like, say if you win a prize money of $6,000, which is kind of the base level, give or take, you're given the guts of $2,000-$2,500 of that away straight away. The cost of training fees are roughly $1,500 to $2,000, maybe to $3,000 a month. Absolutely. I own the leg of a horse at the moment, and like it's very, very difficult. It's really difficult. In the National Hunt game, the amount of injuries you get is so frustrating, and that can absolutely kill you, because if it puts you off another 9 months and the horse mightn't be good enough in the first place. But Davey had a comment, like he said, "We're always told the funding that Irish racing receives from the government isn't ring-fenced from betting revenue, but we don't need to cod ourselves about that," which is fair enough. That's the point Dan McDonald's been making a lot in relation to the football funding. Davey continues, "And it's time racing agitated for more of the bookmakers' cake. They're one of the sectors that make the most money out of racing, and they have to step up if they want the sport to thrive." Like, I have no idea what planet Davey's living on in that regard. Like, bookmakers, like, if Irish racing collapsed in the morning, Flutter wouldn't lose a wink of sleep over it. They wouldn't bat an eyelid, Flutter, which was obviously Paddy Power. Paddy Power started out of the late David Power and the other guys who were racecourse bookmakers. Paddy Power and Flutter and all the big racing or the betting operations now, racing is a lesser and lesser share of the pie. We see the debate between ARC and Flutter at the moment, where I think Flutter not unreasonably is saying we need better terms here. But like, racing is becoming, like, other sports need some of the betting pie, not racing. And that's where, if the government is to increase the betting tax, which might happen, fair enough. But like, I'd argue the case, racing is doing as well as it can. And bear in mind, JD, like, our prize money is based on the government paying about 50% of it, which would be practically unheard of in other jurisdictions. So Davey's right about the prize money, but I'm not sure what the answer is. I can't really see any obvious way for it to get better. The toad is obsolete at this stage. Other jurisdictions have different...
Why can that not be resurrected, the tote?
While
I was growing up, the tote was a marvellous thing. It was brilliant for the small punter going to a race meeting, having a chance to win a big jackpot. What do we do most in this country in terms of betting? We bet on the lotto. You know, people are on the lotto every week looking for the big prize. When I went to Leopardstown, Punchtown as a young person, going in for a 100 grand pot or 150 grand pot or 50 grand pot by trying to pick four races in a row and winners of four races in a row was really exciting for very small money. I don't see why, with a bit of marketing and a bit of investment, that couldn't be resurrected and make it an interesting thing for the casual punter at a race course.
If you had like the world pool, if you had the world pool for all of the races where, it's probably not going to happen, but you could definitely have more races where there's a global influence. When you have that and you have a really, really liquid tote and you have a small enough takeout, it's still a nice option, particularly with long shots. But for the run-of-the-mill races, JD, it's just been left behind by, obviously, the betting exchanges. People on phones now betting better terms that they've all these each-way places. The tote offers appallingly bad value, basically, now. Now, it does pay the SP, but it's you don't know what price you're getting, which
I'm
is a massive
more
problem.
Of the pools here, though, the big jackpot pools, the pick six pools, the scoop six-style bets. My dad won the Leopardstown Stephen's Day on his own jackpot in 1991 and paid 18,000 punts.
Yeah, but
why can't we have those big pools? Why can't we have those big moments?
You can, but like you'd be as well off doing the same bet with the bookmakers, like, and getting your, you know, if you can get the pots, fair enough. But the tote has been going backwards for so long now, I'm not sure anyone could resurrect it from the position it's in. But like I've argued that I think there should be a betting, there should be a bookmaker that puts all its money back into Irish racing. And if you want to bet on Irish racing, bet with this bookmaker. And that bookmaker itself, which is basically run by the authorities, it offers odds in Irish racing, but all the money goes back to Irish racing. There's no profit otherwise. It goes all back into it because at the tote at this stage is gone. But people are changing their betting habits, JD. They're betting in running on football. They're betting on Bet Builder. They're not betting on Clonmel as much.
Okay. Curragh on Saturday, good to Firmin Places. I really like this Phoenix Sprint Stakes, the Group 3 at 3.25, 6 furlongs, 13 runners. Really a competitive race here. Moss Tucker won it last year. Big Gossie won last time out. Shartash is a course and distance winner. We also have Anocera, a really consistent filly. Electric Storm, Ryan Moore rides that one, coming over from the UK. Jack Ajaro, the same. Give Me the Beat Boys for Jessica Harrington. Kind of Blue, another English raider coming over. This is really good.
It's a brilliant race. And, you know, it's 32 grand prize money for Group 3, which... if you're coming over here to try to win that pot, it's funny, like, it's not good prize money for a race of this nature. It's really competitive. I mean, Moss Tucker's rated 114. He's a 7-1 chance in the race. Most of the horses are rated 100 plus. But at the same time, and this is the funny thing, like, the British trainers have come over. I think they have a feeling that it's been great to see the British trainers come over.
They think they've got better sprinters than we do.
And they do, like, it's simple as that.
Now, that's why they're here.
Maybe they won't win this because they haven't brought over the cream of the crop here. But, they're coming over to win the Classics this year. Rosalian winning at the Curragh was great to see, and like I absolutely want that. I want British trainers to come over here and make us more competitive. I'm actually going to go with Jack Ajaro here for Dave Mernan. Jesus, there we go. This horse is like 10 or 12 to 1, and we've gone with the same horse.
12 to 1 with William Hill, who've priced it up.
He's 3 year olds on of a bad record in the race. The last day behind Believing, he was badly squeezed up. He lost 3 or 4 lengths, I'd say, in the first furlong, and was still only beaten 2.5. And he looks like a horse that really wants a strong gallop, which is practically, I was actually talking to Tom McCourt about this at the races, like in no race in Ireland can you guarantee they'll go a good gallop, because the jockeys are just so good, it's often very tactical. But surely to God here, with 6 furlongs, that's going to, and sprinters coming over, some of them come from Britain, some of them will just be a bit hot in the day, we're going to get a gallop on, and Luke McAteer's mount is interesting at the price.
12 to 1, he's only a kid to this horse, he's only 3. And I definitely think there's improvement to come. The way he finished that race the last time I watched it on video last night is very, very appealing. And the fact that we agree. Normally when we agree, we get it right, folks. Just to, I know we don't want to lose your shirt and everything. But as an each way horse to follow, I think, at a price of 12 to 1 for Euro each way or whatever you want to have on yourself responsibly. I think Jack Ajaro is definitely one for David Marnane, who trains it as well, 12 to 1. Is that your make mine a double J, Johnny, or do you have something else that you like at the Curragh or anywhere else at the weekend you want to give to the free-to-air section?
I'll actually give that at the price. My kind of bigger fancy is a shorter price, Newmark. But I'll give Jack Ajaro as a sporting nap, and just to say, the Curragh maidens tomorrow are spectacularly good. The pedigrees are off the charts. Like the first three races, the 2-year-olds there, like if you, as I say, I feel the Curragh is totally undersupported. Like, it's a beautiful day out there tomorrow if the weather is good to see those young horses.
Delacroix for, that's in the first race for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien.
Beautiful pedigree. And then the
Hides of March in the next race then, pair of them.
And I don't have all the names in front of me.
And then Ballet Slippers. Some of these horses might then appear the classics next season, potentially.
Oh, absolutely. Like Delacroix Dubawi out of Teppan, who was second to Green Impact, first time out at Leopardstown. Green Impact was very well fancied, but this horse beat a seemingly better fancy stablemate running green. That was likely a very strong maiden.
McMullen Double J, it's easy this week, folks. We both agree, Johnny Ward and myself, Jack Ajaro, 12-1 each way in the 3:25 of the Curragh on Saturday. So maybe have a look at that one, folks, if you're going to have a look at the Curragh tomorrow. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's action at Ascot, Newmarket and Haydock, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.